So Lamed Vav Aleph in the middle over here. Korah. So Korah is this sap that grows on the outside of the tree. Might be hearts of palm. It's soft the first year and edible. And then after that, it becomes hard. So you have a machloket between Amoraim about the bracha. Korah, Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Pir Adama, Ushmuel Amar Shehakol Nieh B'Dvaro. So Rav Yehuda says you make a Bar Pir Adama since it grows from the tree. And Shmuel says you make a Shehakol Nieh B'Dvaro because it's not a product of the tree. It's only a byproduct. I think that's the best way of describing it. It's something that comes off of the tree. Now, they have actually a conversation about this, it would seem. Rav Yehuda Amar Bar Pir Adama Peirahu. Rav Yehuda says, look, it's a fruit. It comes from the tree. And Shmuel says, no, it's not really a fruit from the tree. And the fact that it gets hard after a year, Rashi says, it becomes hard like the tree. It's part of the tree. It's not like a proper fruit. So Amalei Shmuel Rav Yehuda, he said, you know what? Shmuel, in the ultimate act of intellectual honesty, Shmuel says, you know what? You're a sharp person. You're right. Kivatcha That's known, sofo lehikashot, because I see that snon gets hard after a certain amount of time. And even though it gets hard, you still make a bray adama because it's a fruit. And so you still make a, well, it's a what's it called? It's a bray adama. It's a vegetable. But either way, it doesn't lose its special bracha just because it becomes hard. It still remains bray pi adama. Velohi tznon niti. So the Gemara says, Shmuel, not so fast. We know that you want to be intellectually honest. We know that you want to give Rabbi Yehuda his credit. But the Gemara says, Shmuel, you're wrong about Rabbi Yehuda being right. Velohi, it's not true. Tznon niti inchi adaita de pugla dikla. Dikla lo nati inchi adaita de korah. The tznon, when people plant the original plant of the tznon, it's for the sake of this offshoot, this pugla that's coming off of it. Okay? But the korah, when people plant the korah, it's not for the sake of this extra byproduct that people are planting it for. Sorry, when they plant dikla, when they plant the date palm, they don't plant it for the hearts of palm. They plant it for the dates that come from the tree, the fruit. So the Gemara says, so what are you saying? There's a rule that whatever the person had in mind when he planted the tree, only for the fruit that the person had in mind when he planted that tree, only that fruit gets a proper bracha, and anything else that comes from the tree doesn't get a miyuchad bracha. It says, but wait a second, all right? Slaf is a caper. The nati inchi adaita da pircha. There are four different things that come from a tzlaf. We're going to be talking a lot about a tzlaf, so we have to know what this thing is. We may not really be eating it so much anymore. The translation of a tzlaf is that it is well, a tzlaf in modern Hebrew is what? You know what a tzlaf is in modern Hebrew? What's a tzlaf?
It's a sharpshooter.
Yeah, a sniper. That's what it is.
Sniper,
that's not what this is talking about. So that slough over here is talking about a caper bush. Anybody ever seen a caper bush?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
so a caper bush has...
It's prickly. It's prickly.
Right. It has a lot of parts to it, apparently. So this slough, it has evyonot. The evyonot are the actual fruit. Okay, that's the actual fruit. They're the berries, so to speak, of the bush, and the kafrisin are these husks on the berries that are edible, but they're there as like basically shells for these berries. Then you have the alin and the timrot. Then you have these leaves that are on the caper bush, which are not fruits. And then you have little berries on the leaves. I'm thinking little berries. I haven't seen it, but I'm thinking little berries like the ones on hadasim, right? On hadasim, you have berries that we try to get rid of before we use them on Yom Tov. So the Gemara says that snow, sorry, where to go? Slav de niti inchi adaita de pircha. Obviously, when people plant that slav, it's for the sake of the actual fruit. But tnan almine nitzpa la alin val timlot omer bripi adama. Nevertheless, on the leaves and on the the berries of the leaves, people make a bar pi adama. The avionot v'alkefrisin omer bar pi ha'etz, and on the avionot, the actual berries and the husks, people make a bar pi ha'etz, even though nobody actually plants the tree for the klipot. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak slaf niti inchi adaita deshuta dikla dikla lo niti inchi adaita dekora. And the Gemara concludes and says no, because the tzlaf, when person plants the tzlaf, they actually do have in mind to eat all of the parts of the ilan. The tzlaf, when a person has in mind, it's like an Indian, you know, you're going to use every single aspect of the tzlaf. But with the dikla, people don't have in mind to eat these extra parts of the date palm tree when they actually plant it. The Gemara concludes. Even though Shmuel tried to back up Rav Yehuda, he wanted to say that Rav Yehuda is right, the halacha goes against that, and the halacha actually follows Shmuel. So we actually follow Shmuel that the bracha on Korah is Shakol Niyavidvaro, and that we really do go by what the person has in mind when he plants the tree. Okay, so that is a rule of thumb that we can keep in mind, that whatever a person has in mind when they plant the tree, only those parts of the tree that he had in mind, those are the parts that get proper brachot. Okay, let's take a brief break from the Gemara and do a little bit of halacha lamaaseh right away. The truth is that this is going to become more relevant later, but I want to do it now. What's the bracha on fruit juice? So the Shulchan Aruch said, well, let's start with this. What bracha do we make on fruit juice?
Shahakol.
Except for?
Gafen.
Grape, except for grape juice. We make a shahakol on everything else. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Dvash hazav me'atmarim, mevarech alav shahakol. So the dvash that comes out of tamarim, so that's, what's it called?
Silan.
Yeah.
Silan.
Date honey, right? So Silan. That, you make a shahakol on it. V'chein al mashkin hayotzin mikol mini perot. And so too on all juices that come from fruits. Chutz mi zeitim v'anavim. We've covered zeitim and anavim. We talk about this. Anavim, obviously. Zeitim, we had a whole sugya of, when do you ever make a bar pi ha'etz on zeitim? We said only when it's used as a medicine and it's mixed up with something else. But everything else, you make a shahakol. So orange juice, apple juice, tomato juice, pomegranate juice, all of it, according to the Shulchan Aruch, seems to be shahakol. Here's an interesting thing. I've been trying to figure this out for the last hour. Perot she'shra'an o bishlan b'mayim. However, if you cook fruit in water, even though the flavor gets in, you still make a shahakol. But the Rush says it could be that if you have enough of the flavor of the fruit in the water, you make a bar pi ha'etz. Okay, so it sounds like according to the Rush, and we're going to see this for sure, according to the Rush, you're more likely to make a bar pi ha'etz on water that you cooked oranges in than if you squeezed orange juice and drank that directly. Is this surprising to anyone else?
Say that again.
You're more like, according to the Rush, you make a bar pi ha'etz on water that has oranges cooked in it, but orange juice, which you squeeze directly from the orange, you make a shahakol. To me, that was very surprising. Is that surprising to anybody else? So the Mishnah Berurah jumps in, gives us a little bit of the background, and he says, make a shahakol on fruit juice. The madechti batara zeit shemen udvash haynu tmarim hayotze mehen dvash. Aval dvash kufa zeh ba'al mahu veino bichlal pri. Okay? So one thing to know is that when the Torah says dvash, we're talking about, what are we talking about?
Silon.
Tamarim, right? When it says dvash, we're talking about tamarim, though. They're just like when it says zeit shemen, right? And when it says gefen, it's actually talking about the what comes out of the fruit, but really it's talking about the fruit itself. So also Dvash is talking about the Tvarim. Alamashkin hayotzim, he says, kagon yein tapuchim. So here you go. Apple juice. Got a picture here of apple juice. These are apples. This is apparently apple juice. Doesn't matter whether how you got the juice out of it, whether it was tisha or schita or it just came out of the apple itself. Why? Because the fruit is what's called zeh ba'alma. It's just a liquid that comes out of it. Because it's not considered a drink. The only drinks that we have that come from fruit are grape juice and olive oil. Those are the only drinks according to the Torah. Okay? That are defined as being drinks. Everything else is just zeya ba'alma, just liquid.
But by the way, Silan, you'll never eat, you'll never drink Silan, right? You don't drink Silan. You know, it's just right. It's an additive as opposed to the other things that you might drink directly. Okay.
Interesting, yeah. I mean, you could say the same thing about olive oil, really. But it's defined that zeitim and anavim, those are the only ones that their liquid that comes out of them are considered a mashke bifnei atzmo. Everything else is just considered liquid. It's just something that comes out of the juice, out of the fruit. Now the Shaar HaTzion points out, this is the Mishnah Berurah wrote both the Mishnah Berurah and the Biur Halacha, and then on the bottom the Shaar HaTzion is the footnotes of the Mishnah Berurah. So here he explains where he built the halacha from. And he makes a comment here. He says, Otan perot sherov achilatan hu al yedei schita. There are some fruits that are mostly eaten, only consumed after being squeezed, right? Give an example. We can give a modern example, no?
Lemon.
Okay, lemons. Orange juice, right? Most, I think, by and large, more oranges are consumed as orange juice than they are as oranges. I've seen some incredible videos of the way that Tropicana, they have these $1 million truck machines that go through their orchards, shaking these trees and getting the oranges down by the tons. It's incredible. And all of that becomes orange juice. None of those are used as oranges. So he quotes, he says, some of the Rishonim say, Otan perot sherov achilatan hu aydei schita, da'at ha-Rashba, demavarchan al-meimei schitan, schitatan kmotan. The Rashba holds that those fruits, when they are made into liquids, when they are squeezed, the bracha should be the same as the bracha on the fruit, which would mean that on orange juice you would make...
Or prehez.
Aval ledata rush. This is the same rush as before. We talked about the cooking, right? B'kol gavni mevarach shahakol. So the Shulchan Aruch is passing like the rush, who says that you make a shahakol even on those fruits that are normally nischat. And he says v'chein tzatam machaber lekaman b'simun reish hay. You can see it over here. The Shulchan Aruch also says you make a shahakol on squeezed juices. And look at the Prima Gadim and the Gro comment on this. But the Mishnah Berurah says it could be. That the Shulchan Aruch is really only hedging his bets. He's saying you say a shahakol because he's not sure. And what do you do when you're not sure about a bracha? You say a shahakol. So sometimes it's hard to tell whether the Shulchan Aruch is paskening or whether he is, I don't know, what's the polite way of saying this? He's hedging his bets. Okay.
Sitting on the fence.
Yeah, he's hedging his bets or he's sitting on the fence and so he doesn't want to pasken one way or the other. So he'll say, it's a machloket, so you say a shahakol. But the Rush doesn't think it's a machloket. The Rush thinks it's shahakol. The Rashba says it's Bori Priya 8. What's the nafkamina, of course? What if you had a cup of orange juice and you made a Bori Priya 8? Mm-hmm. According to the Rush, are you yotze? No, you have to make a shahakol. According to the Rashba, you are yotzei. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. According to the Shulchan Aruch, are you yotzei? We don't know. Because he says you should say a shahakol, but the Mishnah Berurah is not sure if that's because he's not sure or if it's because he thinks the rush is right. If he thinks the rush is right, then you have to go back and make another bracha. If he thinks that he's not sure, then Safik brachos lahakel, you should not make another bracha. So we're actually not sure what to do in that situation. Now here's what I found amazing. As I said before, according to the Rush, you make a shahakol on squeezed juices, but a ha'etz on thoroughly cooked fruit in water. So he says, the yoter yotze tam hayerek al yidei bishul me al yidei schita. He says, water that has had fruit cooked in it tastes more like the original fruit. You get more fruit flavor than squeezed juice. I was amazed by this. I don't understand. I don't really understand it. Meaning, orange juice, I would think, tastes more like orange than water that would have orange cooked in it. I'm not totally sure what he means. Unless he thinks
it might be referring to like alcohol, like you get like an orange liqueur or pear liqueur. That right, is, a pear liqueur.
So you're saying you get more, you get like the fruit gets.
Yeah, it's distilled. It like that. Yeah, it's distilled with sugar and
maybe.
You know, like different. It gives a very a sharp taste.
That could be. I was also thinking maybe that there's more to a fruit than just its juice. You know, we think that, you know, by squeezing the juice out, we get the whole fruit. But maybe a fruit tastes different than its juice. I'm trying to think whether that's true or not.
The pulp, you know, yeah, you buy, talk about Tropicana, you used to get, and I remember in America, you get all the different types. Sure.
Home style. When I go back to America, I always get Tropicana. And then my in-laws know that I like Tropicana, so they get me Tropicana. But every once in a while, they don't know because they don't usually buy it. So they get the low acid, which is the equivalent of Diet Coke. I can taste it in 2 seconds. I know it's low acid. It doesn't taste anything like it. It's not even close. They're all different flavors.
Yeah, it's taken the whole Simcha Sachaim out of the Tropicana.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Okay, we continue. Now we get to the now we get back to the tzlaf. So here we get into a little bit of a complicated area. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, tzlaf shel orla b'chutz la'aretz zoreket havyonot v'ochelet hakafrisin. Okay, so the next section is actually going to be talking about orla and chumos and maisos. So we're getting away from brachot for a little bit, but not totally, as we're going to see. This very much matters. So Rav quotes, Rav Yehuda quotes Rav, who says that the tzlaf, when it's orla in chutz la'aretz, what do? If you have a piece of tzlaf in chutz la'aretz, so he says, you throw away the avyonot, that's the actual pre, that's the real berries. You get rid of them because you can't eat them because they're orla. V'ochelet hakafrisin, but you can eat the husks. So the Gemara says, lemeimer de avyonot piri, v'kafrisin lav piri. That makes it sound like the avyonot are the fruit and the kafrisin, the husks, are not. That's why it's not orla, right? So the Gemara says, well, not so fast. Uriminhu. Almine nitzba al alim val timrot omer bar priya adama val avyonot val kafrisin omer bar priya eitz. The Mishnah that we just saw it 2 seconds ago, said that on the avyonot and on the kafrisin you say bar priya eitz, which seems to imply that the kafrisin are bar priya eitz. So you have a contradiction. Now, those who have learned with me know that may have noticed that there's a problem over here. What's uriminhu? What kind of question is that?
High level question.
Well, it's actually supposed to be a same level question. Uriminu is supposed to be a contradiction between two sources on the same level. So Mishnah to Mishnah, Braita to Braita, Pasuk to Pasuk, right? But there's a problem here because here, this is a Mishnah, but it's being asked as on Rav, okay? And Rav is an Amora.
Right.
So it should be a Meitive. A Meitive is a question in a higher source. So how do we solve this? I didn't see anybody comment on this.
Rav is actually on the cusp, isn't he?
That's right. So the Gemara sometimes says, Rav Tanahu Upalik. Rav is actually considered the border between Tanaim and Amoraim. So that could be the answer over here. I didn't see anybody comment on it because it's not something that people usually talk about. But I think that must be the answer, that this is not supposed to be a knockout question on Rav. It's just supposed to be a problem that we need to solve. So So how do we solve it? So the Gemara says, "Udamar Rabbi Akiva, the Tanan, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Tzlaf Mita Asher Timrod Ve'Avyonot Ve'Kafrisin." Rabbi Kiva Omer Ein Mitasher Ela Avyonot Bilvad Mipnei Shehu Pri. So we say that actually there's a machloka between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer over here, where Rabbi Eliezer says that the tzlaf, all the parts of the tzlaf, you have to do trumot and maasot, the timrot, the avyonot, the kafrisin, the whole thing. He considers it all fruit. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, he says, no, only the avyonot. Meaning that what Rav was saying over here, that you throw away the avyonot and you keep the kafrisin, that's according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that the kafrisin is not fruit. And that's why you don't do the maaser on it. Whereas our Mishnah from before, that was Rabbi Eliezer, who says it's all fruit. Fine. So the Gemara says, a funny question, b'nei ma'alacha k'Rabbi Akiva. Why did Rav have to say this whole complicated thing? All he had to do was say, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. Say halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. And we would know, according to Rav, that Orla and Chutzlaretz, you throw away the Evyonot and you keep the Kafrisin. Rabbi Akiva had already said it. Why did Rav have to give us a new Memra? Rabbi Akiva already said it. You don't have to, Rav doesn't have to repeat things Rabbi Akiva says. He could just say the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, not like Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara answers, Hava Amina Afilu Ba'aretz. Kamash Malan, Kol Amekel Ba'aretz, Halacha Kamota B'chus La'aretz. Hava Ba'aretz, Lo. The answer is that Rabbi Akiva, when he says this, he is the Makel opinion. Rav, he's the Makel opinion even in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, if Rabbi Akiva just says, boom, Kafrisin, they're not fruit. You don't have to worry about Orla with Kafrisin. Rav is not saying that. Rav is only saying that in Chutz La'aretz, we can follow Rabbi Akiva. He's saying in Chutz La'aretz, you can follow Rabbi Akiva because Rabbi Akiva is the Makel opinion in Eretz Yisrael. And the halacha in Chutz La'aretz for Orla is like the Makel opinion in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Why is that? Why is the halacha in Chutz La'aretz like the Makel opinion in Eretz Yisrael?
Because it's a mitzvah to live Eretz.
Yes. Well, it might be. It is. It's but the we Rabbanim. Still do it in Chutz La'aretz, right? We still have Orla in Chutz La'aretz. You have to worry about it. But It's only Durabanan. It's either Durabanan or a Minhag. But it's definitely midivrei sofrin. That's what Rashi says. Midivrei sofrin. He and Rashi says pshat the kevan the ena min haTorah halacha achra mekel. In other words, we should be mekel on Orla and Chutz La'aretz. So whatever there is in the mekel opinion in Eretz Yisrael, that's how we follow in Chutz La'aretz. So he couldn't say the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva because the halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is only like Rabbi Akiva in Chutz La'aretz, but in Eretz Yisrael it may not be. So then the Gemara says, well, why didn't he just say that? Nehem halacha Rabbi Akiva b'Chutz La'aretz. To call and make up a chutz la'aretz, halacha kamotu b'chutz la'aretz, b'chutz la'aretz. So the Gemara says, well, why didn't he just say, he's still talking about chutz la'aretz, right? Why not just say, the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in chutz la'aretz? And then we would know. So the Gemara answers, yeah, marhachi, have a mina hanim ili gabi maser ila, the ba'aretz gufa midar abanan, aval gabi orla, the ba'aretz midar raita, ema b'chutz la'aretz nami migzor kamash malan. The answer is, that in actuality, if you're paying attention, Rav was talking about Orla. What was Rabbi Akiva talking about? Go back and look. What was Rabbi Akiva talking about? He wasn't talking about Orla. What was he talking about?
Maisa.
He was talking about Maisa. So if you do this, what you end up having is Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer have a machloket about whether or not Kafrisin is considered pre in terms of Maisa. In Eretz Israel. And Rav
why wouldn't
comes
it be
along.
Considered? Why wouldn't it be considered pre? You
know, Kafrisin? Because it's the husk, it's not the actual.
It's the husk, it's not the actual.
Right. Whereas Rav simply says that in Chutz La'aretz, we're going to follow Rabbi Akiva's position ultimately and say that Kafrisin is not fruit. Now, what does that say about Orla in Eretz Israel? It may not say anything. But in fact, let me rephrase that. If Rav had said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in Chutz La'aretz, what would we know? we would only know that the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that you don't have to worry about. If he would have said the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, then we would only know that in terms of Meiser. Why? Because Meiser is actually more Mekel than Orla in Eretz Yisrael. Why is that? Why is Meiser more Mekel than Orla in Eretz Yisrael? Two possibilities. What are the two possibilities? There's one that Rashi gives and one that the Rambam is going to have to give.
Repeat that question again, please.
Why is Meiser in Eretz Yisrael more Mekel than Orla in Eretz Yisrael?
Is it something to do with the Beis HaMikdash?
No.
Is it something to do that I don't give the same Meiser every year? I give the Meiser Levi? No?
No. It's that according to Rashi, and Rashi quotes this, and according to the majority of Rishonim, Meiser on all Perot except for grapes and olives is only Midrabanan. According to Rashi and most Rishonim, Meiser is only Daraisa on grapes and olives. Tirosh v'Yitzar. And grain. I apologize. Dagan Tirosh v'Yitzar. Because those are the only ones that are mentioned in the Torah.
They're only in the Sheva. Right.
Which means that according to Rashi, I don't have to take Meiser midaraisa on my oranges or my apples or my pomegranates or my dates. Okay?
That is Sheva Minyan.
Doesn't matter. Only Dagan Tirosh v'Yitzar. Which means it's only Derabanan in Eretz Israel. So we can understand why Rabbi Akiva would be Mekel on Meiser, but he might not be Mekel on Orla. Because Orla is Daraisa.
Because Orla is everything.
Exactly.
Orla is everything.
The problem is the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, no, Meiser is Daraisa on all fruit in Eretz Israel. So how is he going to deal with this Gemara? So we'll have to say what you said, Joe. It has to do with the Beit HaMikdash. Meiser nowadays, Meiser Bezman Hazeh,
that's what I was, right.
Is only Durabanan on everything. Meiser nowadays is only Durabanan. As scary as it is, Trumas and Meisos, ultimately, don't tell anybody, but it's only Durabanan.
Yes. Right.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what the Rambam would have to say. But then he has to interpret that Rabbi Akiva was talking, or at least that the Gemara was only talking about Bezman Hazeh, which is doable, but not the best thing.
Right.
So the Gemara continues, and it says, Ravina, okay. Ravina, I'm debating whether or not to stop here and jump till the end. How much do we need for the understanding? Yeah, you know what? We're going to jump to the other side of the dot. Here it gets really complicated, and it's mostly a conversation about Trumas and Maestros. So we're jumping to here, and I want to just read the end, the conclusion. No, you know what? I apologize. Let's go back and read a little bit. I'll find the right place to skip. The Gemara says, it continues. It says, Ravina, there's a story. Ravina Ashkechele Mabar Ravashi, the Kazarik of Yonot, the Kaachal Kafisa. Ravina was walking and he saw that Ravashi was throwing away the berries and eating the Kafisan, like what Rabbi Akiva said to do. Amalei Maidatech, Rabbi Akiva, the Mekel, the Levit Markabit Shameh, the Mekili Tvei. So Ravina said to Ravashi, he says, well, why stop with Rabbi Akiva? Go all the way and be Mekel like Beit Shammai. Ditna. Slav Beit Shammai Omrim Kilayim Bekerem uBeis Hillel Omrim Ein Kilayim Bekerem Elu VeElu Modim Shechayev BeOrla. What happened? Beit Shammai Beit Hillel actually have a machloket about slav, whether or not it's considered Kilayim Bekerem. Kilayim Bekerem is Kilayim, but it only applies to what kind? What kind of vegetation?
Grapes.
A vineyard.
Grapes.
Min yerek. Yerek. It only applies to a yerek, to vegetables. Kevayim bekarim only applies to vegetables.
Isn't the kerem a vineyard?
It is. But kelayim bekarim is only vegetables. That's what Rashi's saying over here.
Okay.
So we have to understand. So according to Beit Shammai, if it's kelayim bekarim, that means it's a vegetable. What does that mean in terms of its fruit status? It should mean that you can't have orla, right? Because only fruits have orla. Vegetables don't have orla. We don't have orla with cucumbers, with tomatoes, et cetera, right? Because you have to have a tree that lasts for 3 years. Otherwise, how does it work? By definition, things that you make a bray pri adama on, the bush or the tree of it grows and then dies. That's what happens with the banana tree. That's what happens with all kinds of trees. So with tomatoes, with cucumbers, et cetera, et cetera. So according to him, it's not even considered a fruit in Israel, the tzlaf, right? Which means that you shouldn't even be concerned about it at all. The tzlaf itself. So he says, Eilu ve'ilu modim shechayev ba'orla. But then, strangely, it says, both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel think that there is orla. So that's very strange. That means that Beit Shammai says that it's both kelayim bekarem and it's orla. But that's an internal contradiction, which is exactly what the Gemara says. Hadbo fakasha. Amar tetzlaf Beit Shammai omrim kelayim bekarem, amar min yareku. V'hadu tani eilu ve'ilu modim shechayev ba'orla, amar min ilanu. It's either a yerek or it's an ilan. It's either kelayim bekarem because it's a yerek, or it's orla because it's an ilan. Which one is it? Halo kasha. Beit Shammai svugi mesapkelahu. Vav diachaluchum maachaluchum. Beit Shammai, they were machmir. They weren't sure. Is it a fruit? Is it a vegetable? They weren't sure. So they said we have to be concerned for kelayim bekarem, and we have to be concerned for orla. So he's not being makel. Mikomakom the Beit Shammai have a suffik orla, but to non suffik orla beret Israel asur, ubasur yamutar. So, I'm going to skip past this part for a second. I wanted to jump to this. Can't do this. Here. I want to jump all the way down here, I guess. V'ilchat ha-kamar v'ravashi d'zarekat ha-vyonat v'achilat ha-kafrisin u'midilgabi orla lav pirininu l'gabi brachot nami lav pirininu. The Gemara says the halacha is like Rav Ashi, my Rav Ashi, who would throw the berries and he would eat the kafrisin, okay? Meaning it's not orla, the kafrisin. And the conclusion is u'midilgabi orla lav pirininu, since by orla it's not a fruit, it's not a boy priha eight. So this is what I want to get to in the conclusion. The whole discussion about whether it's orla or not orla appears to be of use over here in the Gemara so that we know what bracha to make on these kafrisin. Do we make a boy priha adama or do we make a boy priha eight? Fair? Okay, now we take this.
Can I just ask a question? I came in late. What are we speaking about? About a specific kind of berry?
Or? This is a tzlaf, which is caper.
Caper.
Caper bush. Caper bush. It's got all kinds of. Yeah. It has actually four different edible pieces to it.
Okay.
Sorry. This I think is the kora. Actually, that's not tzlaf. Tzlaf is something else. Okay. Here. So let's take a look at what the Shulchan Aruch has to say. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Havyonot v'atimot v'kafrisin shel tzlaf chayavim be'orla." This is in Hilchos Orla. That all these parts require orla. B'med v'amarim be'eretz Yisrael. Aval b'chutz la'aretz havyonot chayavim v'atimot kafrisin p'turim. So, in Eretz Yisrael, we're machmir, which means we paskin like who? Rabbi Eliezer or Rabbi Kiva?
Rabbi Eliezer.
Very good. So you pass like Rabbi Eliezer, which means that we consider the kafrisin to be a fruit or a vegetable.
Fruit.
A fruit.
Fruit.
Excellent. Good. So the Ramban says as follows. We'll read through the Ramban. Umaskana Kor Yehuda, Amarav, the Zorik of Yonah Vilachal the Kafris. But Dafka Bechutzarts of Abayr Yisrael, Chashin of the Rabbi Elazar. Right? The halacha that you throw away the avyonot and eat the kafris, that's only in chutzlar. It's in Eretz Yisrael, you can't eat the kafris either when it's early. Normally we follow Rabbi Kiva. Rav thinks that Rabbi Elazar is right, so he passed like him. Fine, ignore Beit Shammai. The cut of Baal Halachos, so this is the Bahag, one of the Gaonim. So the Bahag says, yeah, makes sense. Since it's Orla, the bracha is going to be Bori Pri Ha.
Eats.
Adama. What happened? So he says, Gabi Orla Lav Peruhu. Sorry, one second. What just happened? Gabi Orla Lav Peruhu, the Gabi Bracha Namila Peruhu, Gloma Brechanale Bori Pri Ha 8, Ela Bori Pri Ha Adama. Sorry, let me just go back to the Gemara for one second.
So it's not a fruit.
Right, right. The Gemara actually concluded that, yeah, we throw away. Okay, let's hear it. Yeah. Yeah, so the Bahag says it's not a fruit, it's Bori Pri Ha Adama. And why does he say that? Avogav Delin in Orla Spekahu, Uba'aretz Mashfinale Bori Pri Ha 8, Linin Bracha Nami Lavi Speka, Bori Pri Ha Adama Barachim. It's a suffix. The only reason that we considered it Orla in Eretz Israel is misafik. But really, we're not sure. So since it's a suffix, we have to treat it as a suffix with regards to brachot. So it's really a suffix pre. The nafik be'afilu be'pri ha'etz, ilkach mevarchin alei, hachi v'afilu Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, we're going to make a bori pri ha'adama because we're not sure. We're not sure if it should be a pre, or it should be a yerek, and therefore we're going to make a bray priha adama. That's what the Bahag says. Meaning, the fact that we're going to be mekel in chutz laretz, right? The fact that we're going to follow Rabbi Kiva and be mekel in chutz laretz on the kafrisin proves that we're really not sure. We're really not sure about whether or not it's a fruit. And so if we're really not sure if it's a fruit, then we should make a bray priha adama. That's how the Bahag reads this. But the Ravid disagrees. The Ravid says, "Hi Pitzke lo mechavra." He says he doesn't get it. If we say this, then we don't know whether we're following Rabbi Akiva or like Rabbi Eliezer. We're contradicting ourselves. Dilu Rabbi Eliezer priyetu kapashta the baita bore priyets. So that's where the Ravid says you make a bore priha eight. Vim kedivrei Rav zal avagav de lagabe orla kafrisin mutarin mevarach alein, even though kafrisin. You have to keep in mind, like, where's the Ramban living when he writes his commentary? Where's he writing? Where's he living?
In Spain.
Yeah, he's living in Spain. He's living in Chutz Laaretz. So for all intents and purposes, for him, Kafrisin is?
Is Chutz Laaretz in general. Cyprus.
Yeah, and therefore the Kafrisin, not Cyprus, but the Kafrisin is Bori Pri Adama. It makes sense for it to be Bori Pri Adama. Yeah. But the Ravid says no. He says it's Bori Pri Ha'etz. Vishani Orla Midbracha. So he says, according to the Ravid, you're going to have to say that we treat Orla differently than we treat the Bracha. But he says, but then you break up the whole Gemara because the Bracha and the Orla seem to be tied together. We know that from the Breita or the original Breita, where the Gemara wanted to learn, where Shmuel wanted to learn from the fact that you treat kafrisin as fruit, that it's going to be ha'etz. So therefore we see that it's tied. So if in the end we don't treat kafrisin as fruit, so then it should be a bray priya adama. That's how the Rashba reads it. So the Rashba has a machloka between the Bahag and the Ravid about whether or not it's a bray priya adama or bray priya ha'etz. I use the highlighting over here to help us keep track. So the Bahag says it's bray priya adama, and the Ravid says it's bray priya ha'etz. Now we read the Rashba. Now the Rashba points out the same thing that the Ramban points out, but he just points out also that, you know what? The end of our Gemara actually gave us an answer. Remember? Look, the end of our Gemara says, V'lachata kemar baravashi, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. V'lom averchen alei bar priya eitz, ala bar priya adama. So the Gemara says bar priya adama. So how is the Rebbe going to deal with this? Well, what do you notice about that part of the Gemara? From the words v'hilchata. It's in parentheses.
It's in brackets.
What does it mean when it's in brackets? It means maybe that we're not sure if it belongs here.
Maybe it doesn't exist. Yeah.
Exactly. We're not sure if it really was in the original text. And in fact, over here, you can't read this, but I can. Maharshal says that this is from the Bahag. Veinim in a Gemara. V'chein l'hedya barash. They said that the Bahag added this part. Now, the truth is, whenever you see the word hilchata, it almost always means that this was added later. It was added after Ravina and Ravashi finished editing the Gemara. Hilchata is things that are added by either the Savaraim, who lived between like the 400s to the 800s, or the Gaonim, who lived from like the 800s to the year 1000. So it's a good bet. It's a solid bet that this was added post-Talmudically. And it makes sense that it would be added by the Hag. And that's exactly what the Ravid says. The Ravid says, you can't get me with that. That was added by the Bahag. He inserted that in the Gemara. Don't bring that as argument against him. Now, how do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Slav, Perish Slav, Mini Lan Shalin Shalom Ruim Lachila, Vesh Balav, Kamit Varim. His whole definition over here of a Slav is this fruit that has all kinds of edible aspects to it. It has this bush. It has a fruit. It has the husk on the fruit. It has leaves. It has berries on the leaves and all this stuff. Everybody eats all of it. So he says, Al ha'alin v'al tmarot v'al kafrisin barei pri ha'adama. Let me highlight that. I didn't highlight it before. So he says, clearly, barei pri ha'adama. And on the avyonot, barei pri ha'etz. So how does he paskin? He paskins like the Bahag. Okay? The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Bahag. The yigamei barei pri ha'adama. And on everything else, you make a bar priya adama on the kafrisin, and you don't make a bar priya eitz. Okay, fair? Fine. Now things get a little bit complicated because there are other kinds of klipot. Here, we're talking about the klipot maransin. Dad, what are they talking about? Klipot maransin. You know?
Marans, I think, is an orange.
That's right. It's an orange, right? How is it an orange, by the way? I don't even know.
I don't know. That's the Yiddish word, the maransin.
Okay, good. So, who here eats orange peels? Anybody?
You used to get them in dipped in chocolate.
I remember very good.
My grandparents, the Pesach.
That's exactly right.
Candy, so either dipped in chocolate or orange. That's right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So there are chocolate covered peels. But that's not what they had, because no chocolate is mentioned over here, but they had glazed. They had sugared. They had candied orange peels. Klipat maranshin shemerakchin oto bedvash. Honeyed. Okay? So they honeyed these orange peels. What bracha do you make on such a peel?
Shehakol.
So the Taz says, yesh levarech aleha borei pri ha'adama. Borei pri ha'adama. Now, the Borei Pri Adama you're saying over here is not on the glaze. It's clear that you're making it on the klipa, on the peel. That's the ikar. V'raya medit b'kol makom gabi kafrisin shehu klipa shel apri dilemi orla lo avi pri gabi brachot nami lo avi pri v'lo mevarchen alei Borei Pri Ha'etz ela Borei Pri Ha'adama. So he says we can figure this out based on the story with the klipa of kafrisin. Kafrisin is a klipa of the tzlaf, and you make a bar priya adama on that. Therefore, it makes sense that you should make a bar priya adama on the orange peels.
Does that mean you would make a bar priya adama on any peel? Suppose I want to eat potato peels. Suppose I want to eat apple peels by themselves. Suppose I want to eat grapefruit peels or something.
So we skip the part of the Gemara that's important but just overly complicated, where it's established that some peels are considered shomer lapri and some are not. And shomer lapri means like it protects the the fruit in some way, but there are a lot more aspects to it. It has to mature with the fruit. It has to not fall off. There are all kinds of things that are that go into it being a Shomer Lepri. We didn't go into it in the Gemara because it gets very complicated and they want to spend all the time on that. But he does. He talks about it. He says, V'hin kein hu adin nami b'kol ha-klipot. He wants to say with all peels, it's always going to be Bo'i Pir Adama. Ve'in lomar da'amin and sham b'gemara de'kafrisin lo'ha v'shomer l'peri kevin de'ishakata la lo'mayet ha-pri, because if you take it off, it's not, the pri is not going to go bad. V'she'in kein b'shar klipot. Okay, he goes into this. He says, as conclusion, lo'amin and sham de'shomer ha v'kepri ela le'inyan orla. He says, a shomer l'pri is actually like a pri. A real shomer l'pri is like the fruit. But that's only for orla, he says. The yesh bariboy de et piryo. We didn't read this. The marbina nafilo aklipa. Kedita biyardeya. But that's only for orla. Vava of the Gemara is shazachar niyalef habracha midin orla. And even though I acknowledge, he says, that the bracha is learned from orla, that's only leinyan lav pera. That's only when it's not an actual fruit. The havakoshikin bevracha avaleinyan yesh pera ein lilmod bracha mi orla. But when you're talking about a shomer lepri, where it's an actual fruit, the shomer lepri, there, of course, is going to be a bari pri ha'etz. Okay.
Kind of fruit would you say that the klipa is a shomer lepri as opposed to a non-shomer lepri?
Orange and apple.
I think an apple, orange, yeah.
And sure, apple. Yeah, probably, You'd eat the or melon. No, melon's a vegetable.
No, I don't think so. I think more like apple.
Does the fact that it's edible determine whether it's the shomer lepri or not?
Sure.
No, I mean, we consider all peels to be edible in this context. Otherwise, you wouldn't make any bracha on them.
You can actually pickle watermelon rind as well. People have eaten them. I've eaten them.
Right. But that doesn't make
enough
it,
sugar, and you can eat everything.
Yeah. Now he ends and he says, "Mikol zeh nira baro de berachat klipa tamarantzu b'avri adama." Shamati rabim mufalpin berachazu, but anyone that did the katavti barur. So keep in mind, Taz says we should highlight this with yellow. Bari pri adama. Okay. The Magen Avraham disagrees. The Magen Avraham says, "V'yesh rots in the mamikan the klipa shalpri kegon shemaranchim rachin otam bevarich bari pri adama velo dak." This is not correct, he says. "Da'achem reining umark shemagilit bashal aklipa nofelt bimenu." The fruit, when it becomes mature, the klipa falls off of it. "V'gam afilu ishakalta leilo mayit pira ba'aklipa hazot miguva priu vod delegabi orla priu." He says, "But this klipa of the orange, it doesn't fall off. It's part of the fruit, and it's considered orla. As he says, klipe rimon, garinin, chayivin barla." He thinks that this is considered a fruit in terms of orla. And based on that, that's all he needs. That's all the Magen Avraham needs. Nira lachain, nira li, de mevarech bar pi ha'etz, de gam bakafrisin, yeshom, de mevarech bar pi ha'etz. That's it. He says, and his argument is, de gam tocha pri enu tov. Oh, yeah. I wanted to mention this line. I thought this was interesting. He says, "Was this?" He says, "You'll tell me, but wait a second. The peel doesn't taste good." He says, "He says, you know what? The fruit itself is not good without sugar." Now, I don't know if he's talking about regular oranges here. It's actually, it almost sounds like a grapefruit to me, which some members of my family cannot eat without sugar. I can, but some people can't eat grapefruit without sugar. So it could be that this is a really sour orange that he's talking about. I'm not sure. So, keeping in mind, you have the Taz who says that it's a Bari Pri Adama. You have the Magen Avraham who says it's a Bari Pri Ha'etz. And just to complete the trifecta, we have the Prima Gadim, who quotes the Eliyahu Rabbah, who says it's actually a shehakol. The klipat marantzin nami lo niti adaita lamechel haklipo mashlichan otovaduv sha'ikar. He says, because when a person plants an orange tree, there's no way that he has in mind to eat the peel. He only plans to eat the fruit. V'chein ra'ui lani odaiti laharat shahakol. He says, I think shahakol is the right bracha to make. All right, before we look at the Mishnah Berurah, what do you think the Mishnah Berurah is going to say?
Before we get to that, this seems to confirm the point that I asked earlier, that the fact that it's edible or not determines it. I'm planting an orange tree not to eat a peel. I'm planting it to eat the orange.
No, as
when I plant an apple tree, I do plan to eat the skin.
Well, we have to differentiate and decide what edible means. As Rabbi Neuberger points out, which we're not going to have time to see inside, there's a difference between saying that something was the main thing a person had in mind when he planted the tree and saying that it's edible. You know, the fact that you're eating it means that it's edible. The fact that you can put chocolate on and eat it means that it's edible. You wouldn't do that to a crayon. You wouldn't do it to a rock. The fact that you're eating it has some kind of nutritional value. For some reason, you're eating it. I don't know why, but you are. Now, what does that mean? What the Magen Avraham is saying is that, yes, if it's not what you had in mind when you planted the tree, then it's not going to get a special bracha. It's only going to get a shahakol. But it doesn't mean it's not edible. So what do we think? What's the Mishnah Berurah going to say? Mm-hmm. We have three opinions. You have Borei Pri Eitz, Borei Pri Adama, and Shahakol. What's he going to say?
If Mishnah Berurah is Machmer.
What does Machmer mean?
So it's going to be Ha'etz. So it would be Arba.
That's Machmer?
Because you've got other... Yeah, that's Machmer.
Opposite. I would think that the most machmir is to say shahakol.
Shahakol.
Because you're so not sure. You can only say ha'etz if you're really sure of
yourself. I suppose, yeah, right.
So the Mishnah Berurah jumps in. And he says, ala kafrisin, mishum deinu ikar apri. So on the kafrisin, regular kafrisin of a caper, of a tzlaf, so the Shulchan Aruch already said, you say a bray pri adama. That we're not going to argue with. Interestingly, he says, if you want to follow the Ravid and make a Brei Pri Eitz, you're Yotze B'diavad. So we have like the whole spectrum over here. Ule Inyan Klipat Pamaranchin. So he added a pay at the beginning. I don't know. Does that do anything? They add a pay at the beginning? Pomerantz, right?
Pomerantz.
What's a pomerantz? The name pomerantz, what does it mean?
Is it a pomegranate?
I don't think so.
That's how I knew it.
A pomerantz is a pomegranate?
Pinchas, that's how you knew what?
That it could be oranges.
Oranges.
I have not come across a maranchina.
Pomerantz simply means orange. There you go.
Okay, pomerantz.
It's
okay.
An orange.
I knew it as a maranchina in German. Okay, I knew it as a Marantz, you knew it as a Pomerantz. Okay,
Pomerantz is an orange. Good, now I know what that means when the person's name is Pomerantz. Okay, so, Leinian klipat Pomerantzin shetognin b'dvash, fry it in dvash. Yesh deyog bin achronim, im v'archalein shakol, obre preitz, upri adama. V'al korchach, yesh l'v'archalein shehakol. Ubudiavari birech, obre preitz, obre adama. Yetza. You know what? L'chadchila, say a shahakol. But b'diavad, whatever you do is really fine. David kamar avid, David kamar avid. And in the Sharatim, he gives you the whole rundown. The Magen Avraham and the Panim Meirot and the Chayei Adam say you say a Brei Pri Eitz. The Taz, the Bigdei Yesha, the Alter Rebbe, the Yad HaKtana, the Magen Yiborim say you say a Brei Pri Adama. The Ola Tamid, the Eliyahu Rabba, the Pimei Gadim, they say you say shahakol. This is, this is quite a thing. You don't often have a thing like this where you have a three-way machloket, and the Mishnah Berurah basically says everybody is fine. Okay, this is what I was talking about before. We don't really have time to go into it, but maybe we can look at it. Rabbi Neuberger points out a machloket between Tosot and the Rashba about the bracha that you make on Garine Pri v'al Hashomrim Lepri.
Are you quoting it? Is this Sefer by Rabbi Neuberger that you're looking at now?
Yeah, Bepri deki shakalta shomer mayeta pri, on a fruit where when you take off the klipa, the fruit will wither. That's why the kafrizin is not considered shomer lepri, because a husk, the fruit inside of it is not going to go bad. Fine. And the Tosfot say shekulam nechshavim kepri mevarchim alei bar pi adama mimasha klipot shomer lepri asurot midina early mitama drasha. Utzuchim levar shita the Tosfot shay nechshav kepri migzeret hakadosh shachayev dina early bam lo mitam daadait the hachinat inchi. Says it's interesting. The Rashba considers the klipot to be fruit, not because you planted it for the sake of the klipot, but simply because it's chayav in orla. The peel acquires the status of a fruit according to Tosfot because it's chayav in orla. And the Rashba asks on Tosfot, he says, I don't understand. Only orla is chayav because of et. The only reason to make something a fruit is if you planted it, having in mind to use that. And the nafkamin is for the bracha. I wanted to find something over here that was interesting. Can I find it? He has a nice way of summarizing. He says the Rashba thinks that the chiyuv orla on peels is just a siman that it's considered a pri, but it's not the reason it's considered a pri. In other words, if you see that something is chayav an orla, that's a siman that people plant that tree having in mind that this fruit's peels should be eaten, that there's importance to the peels. However, Tosfot disagree. Tosfot say, no, the fact that it's chayav and orla is the reason why it becomes a bori pri ha'etz. According to Rashba, first it acquires a bori pri ha'etz because a person gives importance to it, and then it becomes orla. Whereas according to Tosfot, it becomes orla, and that's what gives it a new bracha, regardless of whether or not a person has in mind. Okay. You know what? I don't want to go too deeply into this. It takes us far afield, and there was something else that I wanted to get back to. Okay, here. This is good stuff over here. What are we looking at over here? Anybody know this picture?
Sugar cane.
Yafeh, sugar cane. How do you know?
Wow.
Just know.
How do you know?
I'll tell you why. I think when I was in primary school, we did a project for Tu Bishvat on different weird and wonderful fruit and things, and one of the things was sugar cane.
Yeah, so this is sugar cane. Yeah. The Ramban writes over here.
Your primary school comes back to work, yes.
Yeah. Long time.
The Ramban over here, in an offhand comments, he says, I saw in the Bahag that sukar v'kaneh, the sukar borei pri adama, that sugar that comes from sugar cane is borei pri adama. V'lav mishum disrele dekane lav etzu, elahach israele, avagav de etzu, kevin de lav pire kamafik, v'lav kachlin and pire, lo mitmar lan borei pri ha'etz, ela borei pri adama. Midi dehava ashita de bircha. He thinks that the sugar that comes from sugar cane, right, that's not considered pri. It's not considered fruit that comes from the sugar cane.
Is this analogous to what we had once before regarding hearts of palm, which is not a fruit of the tree, but it's like the bark of the tree? Is this analogous to that?
Yes, it would be definitely connected to that. Now, interestingly, if we look in Tosfot over here, all the way at the end of the Gemara, he also discusses this. And take a look what he says. He says, got some great words over here. Eitz shel kinamon shekorin klina mevarchen alav borei pri adama.
Canela.
That's cinnamon. What, canela? Canela is vanilla?
Canela. I don't know.
Actually,
what's canela?
Cinnamon. Cinnamon, as a matter of fact, is one of the only words in English that's actually the origination is Hebrew.
Oh, really?
Yeah, kinamon, Hebrew, cinnamon, it comes from the root of cinnamon. Is kinamon.
apparently. Okay, cool. Okay, so apparently the
that's
tree
canela, of... canela also.
Canela, yeah.
Canela? What is canela? That apparently is the tree.
Cinnamon. It's cinnamon.
Oh. Okay, fine. So the eights of cinnamon, which is called canela, fine. Mevarchen alav borei pri adama. If you eat it, you make a borei pri adama. Mipnei sheregilin lachlo biyovish, because it's normal to eat it. Vegam ugadel al haaretz kamo kanim. It grows on the ground, fine. Va'al chukro, mevarchin borei pri haetz ki yari im davshi. Zet chukro. He says this is a pasuk in Shir Hashirim is talking about chukro, which is sugar. Zet chukro.
Chukro,
fine. Vego shikorin muskada. I don't know what that is. My anyways, the Tosot over here says you make a bori priha eitz on sugar cane, on the sugar from sugar cane. Okay, so Rabbi Salavechik jumps in over here, and he mentions this is a machlokas rishonim. Rabbi Salavechik says, quotes Tosot, who says that on sugar you make a bori priha eitz. And he says, look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Akanim hamadukim shesochtin otan uvashlin memeyen ad sheik beviyid melamelach." They soak and squeeze these sugar canes. I should have looked up how they how they process the sugar canes. Kol agonim amim shemarvarchin alev bar pri adama. The gonim, the bahag, says you make a bar pri adama, and some say that you make a bar pri eitz. That if you just suck on it, also you make a bari pri adama. The Rambam says, "Ani omer shein ze pri vein mevarchen alav ela shehakol." He says, "I think you say a shehakol." Lo yedvash elu kanim shnishtane aydeh or gadol midvash tfarim shlo nishtane aydeh or mevarchen alav shehakol shehakol. Says on dvash tfarim I make a shehakol, so on this I should make a shehakol. Okay.
So now, do people eat the sugar cane, or do they just suck out the juice? How was it used? How was it eaten?
It sounds like they suck out the sugar.
They suck out the sugar,
or they crush it, or they cook it. They process. Right,
but nobody just takes a bite out of a reed of sugar cane. Then.
You can't.
No, you can't.
Joe says no.
Joe studied it in primary school, so he knows all about it.
It's like it's very fibery. You can't actually. It's like wood almost.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can't eat it. I think.
Now we have to figure out what are they arguing about. So here you have a three-way machloket between the Rambam, the some Gaonim, and other Gaonim with Tosfot. So the Rabbi Salavechik wants to explain each shita on its own. Umavur da Rambam v'agonim nechleku b'gedr din sukar. Da Rambam's really the sukar nechshav kemashke. The Rambam thinks that sukar is like the zeya ba'alma that comes out of fruit. Hayotim in a perot. It's like liquid. Davi zeya ba'alma obarakato shakol. Just like orange juice shakol, so too the sugar liquid that comes out of sugar cane, that's also shakol. Shirak yain v'shemen, only wine and shemen zayit get a special bracha. V'shita ta'ga'onim, v'chein shita ta'tosot, v'varchan al-sukar, bor piya eitz. What are we going to say about that? They'll say, d'shreli d'had ha'mashkin ha'yotzim mizeitim v'anam v'din ha'kapri, eino din misuyam b'zeitim v'anim dafka, elah d'mizeitim v'anam v'yofinan d'kol hecha shamashkin hu'ikar tachli ha'pri. They'll say no. They'll say, what do we learn from the fact that you make a bor piya eitz you make a bar piyah geffen on wine and a bar piyah eitz on shemen zayit. We learn from that when the main usage of a fruit product is its juice, that you make a bracha of bar piyah eitz. Now, who said that? Who else said that? The Rashba said that, right? If you have a fruit that its main product is its liquid, then it will be a bar piyah eitz. And in fact, Rabbi Salvechik says, "Lafi ze, yesh lamar de mevarchen bar pri eitz al mitzat tapuzim, anasim mitapuzim shenatu l'shem mashke shalhem." If you have oranges, like Tropicana oranges, which were planted for the purpose of orange juice, then you make a bar pri eitz. The Chazon Ish paskins, they make a bar pri eitz on orange juice. As far as I know, in Bnei Brak, that's what they do, because they always follow the Chazon Ish. Okay? That's not our minhag. But that's what the Chazon Ish said. He said, nowadays, the main usage of oranges is Bari Pri Eitz, and we should follow the Rashba, and it would follow from this Tosfot as well.
Really? Lamaisa, then people who would be followers of the Chazon Ish would make Eitz on juice?
Make Eitz on what?
On the juice?
On orange juice, yes.
That's what he writes.
He writes to say, orange juice. Really? And look, and in the end of the day, the Mishnah Brura says, if you make a Bari Pri Eitz on orange juice,
it's your catch-all.
It's not supposed to be a catch-all, but in that case, since there are those that say that it's okay, you can do it. We don't, but you could. Now we have to figure out, though, what's the deal with the Bari Pri Adama? We understand the Bari Pri Eitz. It says that the sugar is the main offshoot of the sugar cane. We understand the shahakol because it's not the fruit. So he says, Nira delechuli alma hakanim nechshavim ki ilan, it seems that some of the Gonim say, we don't care about whether or not you have a Tzurat Pri. And some Gonim say that you do. And if you don't have the Tzurat Pri, in other words, if it doesn't look like the original Pri, then it can't be Bari Pri Eitz, but it can be Bari Pri Hadama. That's what he says. Ava bishamayim ayotzim mikanim amutukim chashuvim kefri atzmo. It is fruit. The sugar water that comes out is fruit, but because it doesn't look like the original fruit, we make a Bari Pri Adama. Now we've seen this before. I'm trying to remember now. I know we've seen this before. That when it doesn't look like the original fruit, then you make a Bari Pri Adama. Where did we see this? Shemen Zayit. Yes, Shemen Zayit, we said. There are some who said you make a Bari Pri Hadamah, I think. Look up the old shiur that we did last time. That there are those who said that you can make a Bari Pri Hadamah when you're drinking it, not for a medicinal purpose, because the main purpose is for a medicinal purpose. Remember we said that last time? So, there was someone who said that you could make a Bari Pri Adama on Shemen Zayit. I think it might have been the Rambam. Searching in English. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Kimcha Tchina. That was it. No.
Okay.
All right. I can't remember now. Okay. But that seems to be what Rabbi Salvechik attributes to these other Gaonim, that you make a Bari Pri Adama because it's not in its original form, but it is a fruit. So you don't say shahakol, you make a Bari Pri Adama. Okay. I have here Rav Nissen Kaplan, but I'm not sure that we want to get into that now. I think we can cut it over here. And yes, of course, halacha lamaisa on orange juice, you make a shahakol. There's no doubt about that. The Maisa. And as we said before, on peels, the Mishnah Brura concludes that for peels, you should really make a shahakol, but if you made a Bari Pri, it's a Bari Pri Adama. It's really okay. That's kind of all good. And as we said, also again, on fruit juices, you make a shahakol. There are some who say that on cooked juices, you make a Bari Pri Eitz, but it has to really, really taste like the original fruit. And that's what we said. All right. Shakach, everyone.
Let me ask you a question.
Shkoyach,
this Rabbi Neuberger that you quoted.